Stephen A., before we dive back into football, I know you had another comment about the Draymond Green, Steph Curry situation. You wanted to respond.
On this particular day, I think it's incredibly appropriate when we see somebody like my man Shannon Sharpe have a podcast and does an episode that I think is going to eclipse 50 million views. I think it's a lesson to be learned, and it's a lesson that we need to extend to a lot of professional athletes out there who have their podcast and who go on podcasts and think they have voices and whatever, and some of them do, of course. You know what? We have voices, too. And so if you're going to say somebody said something, quote them accurately. If you're going to say somebody believes something, contextualize it appropriately, because I certainly strive to do that. And at the end of the day, I'm not speaking about Draymond per se, because I think although he made a mistake yesterday, he and I have a very good relationship. I have profound respect for this brother. I think that he can be a star in this business when his playing days are over. And I respect a lot of the things that he brings to the table. He's a good brother, Molly, and he's a brilliant brother. He's made some mistakes, no question, Shannon. We all know that. But he's a good brother that's got a strong upside. I believe in him and always am going to be willing to help him anytime he ever needs me. And that goes for a lot of the other players, I might add. But I want to remind the world, this is Stephen A., baby. I'm not running from anybody. And if somebody is going to misquote me, usually I'm going to make an effort to set the record straight. Now, there are some people, as Shannon constantly reminds me, that deserve to be ignored. There are people in the media, fat bastards to be specific, who are completely irrelevant and are starving for attention because all they have left is clicks because their credibility has been shredded everywhere else. And those people are left to be dealt with another day. But outside of that, I want to make sure that people out there who have their podcasts and have their platforms and all of this other stuff, if you're credible enough and I choose to care enough, I will respond off of anything that I have to say. All I ask is that if you're gonna come at me, could you at least quote me accurately and contextualize accurately? That's all I ask, because I certainly try to do it every single day I'm on the airwaves. Shay Shay, that's all I got to say about it.
I got nothing to add, my brother.
All right. Let's leave it there then, Stephen A. I want to get back to the game because, in case you didn't know, Michigan's national champions, folks. It was the story of the night. So the Wolverines are champions, and in doing so, become the sixth team ever to go 15-0 or better. It's their first outright title since 1948, when Jim Harbaugh's father, Jack, was only 9 years old. Put that in perspective. Michigan got it done on the ground, guys, rushing for a CFP title game. Record 303 yards. Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, both ran for over 100 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Michigan had 174 rush yards in the first quarter alone. And for Harbaugh, it's been a long time coming. In his first six seasons with Michigan, they didn't win a single Big Ten title since then. They've made three straight playoff appearances and cap it off with the Natty. We have Paul Feinbaum back here with us. Where's my guy? There he is. Hi, Paul. And Paul, I want to start with you here.
Hey, Molly.
Tell me this, because I feel like no one could contextualize it better than you. You're so dialed in college football. What is Harbaugh's legacy as a college coach, as we are hearing he could potentially move on?
It is going to be a great legacy, Molly. Some would argue that it's complicated, and most legacies are complicated. But in Jim Harbaugh's case, he came to Michigan to resurrect a once proud program after nearly winning the Super Bowl and being and going to three NFC championship game. So they needed him desperately. He was the favorite son. He played there. We all know that. What did he do? He resurrected it. It was difficult. It was painful. And he almost didn't make it. And that's what makes this such a Hollywood ending. Some will throw up all the things that happened this year. And by the way, I don't want to act like I haven't been talking about it. I have. And at one time, I wondered out loud right here whether this championship would be tainted. But after watching this program over the last couple of weeks mow through the end of the Big Ten schedule with Harbaugh on the sideline, beating Penn State in college at Nittany Lionville State College, after winning at Maryland, after beating Ohio State, winning the Big Ten championship, and then beating Alabama at the Rose Bowl, and then what happened last night, There really isn't much debate. There's no debate in my mind that this is the national champion. This is a deserved national champion. And I don't think anybody is going to complain in the future.
Yeah, I think you look at him at three different stops. You saw what he did at San Diego, back-to-back 11-win season. He goes to Stanford, wins the Orange Bowl, and now he goes to the NFL, has that there, but we're just talking about college, and then he goes to his alma mater. And he's entrusted to resurrect a once-promising, very proud college collegiate football team, a blue blood. And he's done that. It didn't get off to the greatest of starts. As Paul, as you've mentioned, we almost didn't get to this point. The car broke down, but somehow he got it fixed, got it back on the road, and he ended up winning the race. Three straight Big Ten titles, three college football playoffs, three wins over Ohio State, your rival, the one that you got. It's almost as important as winning the Big Ten title and beating Ohio State. And then you top it off. And every place that he went, and that he left it better than what he found it. You ask San Diego, was it better than what it was? Was it better once he left and when he got there? Yes. Ask Stanford, was it better once he left and when he found it? Yes. Michigan, think about it. Look about what they had. Rich Rodriguez, Brady Hoke. That's not the Michigan that we're used to seeing. That's not the Michigan that I grew up watching with Coach Jim Beckler and all those great teams, even though they didn't win national championships. But what he got there and what he was able to do, I think his place in college football is cemented. Now, obviously, you know, we'll talk about where he ranks as far as the Sabins and the Kirby Smarts and the Dabo. That's a discussion for another day. But I do think Coach Harbaugh's legacy as a college football coach is cemented.
Well, without question, I think his legacy as a college football coach has been cemented. You go 40-3 your last 3 years. You win three Big Ten titles. You beat Ohio State three times. All right, you put Ryan Day's tenure in jeopardy because let's call it what it is. If Harbaugh were to come back and you keep beating up on Ohio State, they're going to get another coach to try to beat Michigan. This is not something that they want to lose. And then Ohio State obviously made it worse when they go and they lose the bowl game in a fashion that they lost it as well. So that certainly doesn't help them. So not only as did you achieve for Michigan, restoring them to a level of credibility and ascension that they had coveted. Not only did you win a national championship and Big Ten titles, but you also beat up on your number one nemesis in such a way that they're looking at their own program and saying, what do we need to do to get back to our status? So you compromise their status while elevating yours. So we got to take that into consideration. Then we got to remember what he did on the NFL level, just like y'all said. But I'm going to throw something interesting out to the both of you because I want to know, especially you, Shay Shay, what you think about this. John Harbaugh is a fantastic coach, and he is a champion. It was great seeing him on the sidelines hugging his brother right before kickoff last night. Beautiful scene. We know he beat his brother in the Super Bowl. That was 2012.
Yes.
Since that time, that's 12 years ago. John Harbaugh in that span has two playoff victories. Now, after your brother just won a national championship, you are the number one seed in the entire NFL with everybody looking at the Baltimore Ravens. Quarterbacked by Lamar Jackson, with expectations of winning a Super Bowl. The younger Harbaugh finished the job. What's the older Harbaugh going to do? And then not only that, now the younger Harbaugh is on his way to the NFL. It gets very interesting. I'm not saying this to cast any aspersions on John Harbaugh, who I believe is a leader of men, is a great coach. He's a champion. He's relevant. I got nothing but praise for John Harbaugh. I'm simply saying the greatness of his little brother has put a spotlight on the big brother that we don't get to ignore, because now that the college football season is officially over, it's all NFL now, baby. It's all the playoffs now. And John Harbaugh is the one with the most expectations. We'll see.
Yeah. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I mean, listen, I didn't expect, I was enjoying the Ryan Day roast. I didn't expect the John Harbaugh roast right in the middle of this segment.
But, not a roast. You're going to get on the show, Paul Feinbaum. Paul, let me ask
you. Yeah, I'll defer to you, Shannon. I think I've said the last thing on that.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the thing. You know, think about what Urban Meyer and Ryan Day did to a lot of other Michigan coaches before Harbaugh. You're right, because John Harbaugh, he's an outstanding coach. He has Lamar Jackson, who's about to be a two-time league MVP, and he has the number one seed. This might be his most complete, because when they were the number one seed and Lamar won the MVP in 2019, they didn't have the receiving core that they have right now. I'm not so sure they had the defense that they have right now.
Yep.
I think Lamar Jackson is a better football player than he was then, right now. So I think he's a better football player now than he was back then. So when you put all that together, Stephen A., and you like to say the totality, when you look at this Baltimore Ravens team in its totality, I believe they are the best team. They have the best chance, and John Harbaugh needs to capitalize on this situation, because you don't know if and when, because each year – the game, Nick here, a Nick there. You see Lamar Jackson the previous 2 years, he didn't finish the season. He finished the season. He's healthy. You go in healthy, as healthy as you can be. So I like this Ravens team, but to get back on the Harbaugh legacy, there's nothing else he can accomplish in college.
Paul, if you could answer this for me in one word, it's very challenging. I know we have to go to break, but I'm just curious. Michael Penix Jr., how much do you think he hurt his draft stock?
I think he hurt it slightly, Molly, but he's got so many opportunities to make it back at the combine and everything that comes after this. I think games like this can help you a lot. I don't think they can devastate you, and I think he will be okay.
Okay, perfect. All right, okay. Thanks, guys.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
S.A., before I jump in here, you had something you wanted to mention, right?
Well, Molly, Club Shay Shay, I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but I wrote a memoir last year, and it's a New York Times bestseller, and today it goes into paperback. It's on sale in paperback today. Straight Shooter, Memoir, Second Chances, and First Take. So I just wanted to let everybody know it. Thank everybody who has supported me and has elevated the book to a New York Times bestseller. It doesn't get any better than that. I wrote a new afterword in the book, so make sure you check that out. And you can go to straightshooterbook.com. You can go to amazon.com. And, of course, you'll go to your favorite bookstores as well, and you'll see my memoir, Straight Shooter, a book available in paperback starting today as well. And also, I got an audio book. I did that myself as well. So I just want to let y'all know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, Steve and I hosted the book talk with you, and I've read it a couple times, and it's phenomenal. And I think people have a greater respect for you and learn a lot about you. It's a really inspiring story when they hear about your childhood and where you came from and what you overcame to get here. Mm-hmm.
One other thing, there are people out there lying and actually putting out there that I didn't write my book. I can assure you, so help me God, I wrote my book. It's my memoir. It's my life story. I wasn't leaving that in the
Stephen
hands
A.,
of other
people. Would you ignore people? You wrote for a living. You were a columnist for many years. Don't even acknowledge that.
I'm just saying.
Let's
I'm
go.
Just saying. You just.
You're better than that. Let's go.
It's okay. You just point out how they're lying.
I know exactly who you're talking about. But why does it bother him? You're not going to buy the book. You're not going to read the book. So why do you care? You spend so much time. People spend so much time worrying about him. Other people and what they're doing in their lives. If you realize how little people actually cared about you, you start worrying about them.
Yeah. Listen, yeah. People lie about me all the time. I let God fight my battles. Let's keep it rolling. Let's head to the NFL. The Eagles flew into Tampa yesterday as they prepare for a wild card matchup against Baker Mayfield and the Bucs next Monday night on ESPN and ABC. This will be the second postseason meeting between the teams in three seasons as Teflon Tom Brady and the Bucs were able to come out on top in Jalen Hurts' first full year as a starter back in 2022. It hasn't looked good for Philly as of late, as they've lost five of their last six games after starting the season with a 10-1 record. Now, according to Elias, they're the second team in the Super Bowl era that failed to win their division after starting 10-1 or better, alongside the 1986 Jets. We're throwing it way back. Shannon knew that one. Their defense allowed over 30 points per game down that stretch. I threw a lot of numbers at you there. Marinate on that, and we'll dive into it. Jeff Saturday's back, old blue eyes here with me. It's good to have some company. That omelet looked amazing, though. You could have got a second one.
I should have. I thought I was going to be by myself. Honestly, I thought all y'all were down there. So I thought, you know, big time, you know, they throw me here. You know what I mean? They put all the big time LA. Little folks were in New York.
Molly couldn't avoid the Big Apple. She couldn't avoid the Big Apple.
Yeah.
That's why she had to get home.
Yeah, she got a little boutine.
Flew above dark clouds. Flew above dark clouds. You got people that were scared to fly.
What did I just talk about? People making stories. Let's keep going. Shannon, I'll leave it at that. Okay. Stephen A., I'll start with you. With the Eagles struggling and the Bucs now being led by Baker Mayfield, who's had a better bounce back season, you think? Do you think Baker will cook Philly's defense?
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to say it's entirely possible. I'm going to guess yes. I do not like what I've seen from the Philadelphia Eagles at all over these last 6 weeks. They have diminished into a shell of themselves. A.J. Brown is not healthy, obviously. Yeah. He just got hurt the other day, even though I expect him to be ready. But when you look at Evans and Godwin and the rest of the crew, and you look at Tampa's defense, coached by Todd Bowles, and what have you, even though he's the head coach, they're playing on their home turf. If this was in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field, I'd still favor them with trepidation. Why should I favor them at all if they're on the road in Tampa Bay? I don't like what I've seen from the Philadelphia Eagles. They don't look anything like they did last year. I'm going to say the answer to that question is yes. I do expect Baker Mayfield to cook the Eagles' defense.
I mean, when you look at it, Stephen A., I mean, Tyrod Taylor basically threw for over 300 yards. Oof. Although he got injured and Tommy DeVito came in, they threw for the two of them, and he only completed one pass for 311 yards. You watch Dak Prescott light them up. You watch Sam Howell light them up to the tune of 397 and four touchdowns. So I do expect Baker to play extremely well for the same reasons that you mentioned. He's had a tremendous bounce back season. He's going to get some votes for comeback player of the year, although I don't think he's going to win that award, but he's throwing to Mike Evans, who's had a sensational year, and we know Chris Godwin. So do I expect Baker Mayfield, when you say light him up, do I expect him to throw for 400 yards? No. But would I be surprised if he threw for 300 and say two to three touchdowns? Absolutely not. And I'm telling you right now, I'm picking the Bucs. I'm taking them. I don't need to wait till Saturday or Sunday or whenever they play. I'm taking the Bucs.
Man, it's amazing for me to think back to 10-1 and where they were sitting. And after the loss, everybody's like, well, it's been an ugly 10 wins. And I'll be honest, I defended the heck out of them. I was like, this is a team that's got the moxie, you know, that championship moxie and that kind of stuff. But man, what I've seen the last 6 weeks has been awful. And when you think about not only on the defensive side where they're giving up, you know, 31st in the league, and they're giving up to all the quarterbacks you just mentioned, Shannon, and those aren't the cream of the crop in the NFL, and the points they're giving up and the ability not to get off the field on third down. And then you flip it over. Probably the most surprising part to me about the Giants game was you're playing Wink Martindale and you know he's going to blitz you. Like you get off the bus, everybody understands what this defense is built on, bro. It's built on pressure and turnover. That's all that dude cares about. He going to bring the house. You better recognize. And the Eagles didn't have an answer or even look to be in the same building. It was like they were studying for French and they took a history test. Like it was over the top for me. And the problem for me is what is the answer? They don't have an identity on offense. We kept talking about them getting back to the run game, being physical, allowing A.J. Brown for the play action, big passes. But, man, Jalen Hurts looked like he didn't have an answer. Sirianni looked like they didn't have an answer. Johns, I mean, like all of it. It just does not look like it's put together. So could I see Mayfield torching him? I could. And that and I would have never – a month ago I would have said no chance. And now it's a possibility for sure.
Jeff.
Yes.
Jeff, for you and Shannon, I mean, how the hell do you go from 10-1 to this? Man. Like, real quickly, is this something that y'all have seen that explains this? How do you literally nosedive like that?
Well, I will say this. I'll leave the defense. I'll let Shannon speak to that. But from an offensive perspective, from last year when they had Shane Steichen this year, they do less under center. They have less play action. They have less yards after catch. They have less motion. They do less design runs with Jalen Hurts. And what does that lead to? Less productivity. Like they're simple. They line up two by two. Everybody in the building knows how they're going to line up. Like at some point, you got to give some window dressing so people can respond. And I'm going to let you know, you can't just, I don't care what team you are, you can't just roll out there and think your best going to beat up on their best. They good players on every team. And I think that's been shown the last 6 weeks for Philly.
Well, I just recommend they just line up in the tush push. From start to finish, first down, second down, third down, and just run that. Because that seems to be the only thing that works consistently, guys. And defensively, the reason why, because they're not good. They don't create turnovers, and they turn the ball over entirely too much.
Yeah. Right. I love
that. Line up in a tush push all game. All game.
Just tush push that thing all the way. That'd be fun.
All day.
The range of the
I haven't heard that
something
one.
Special. I'll leave it at that. Eagles are favored by 2.5, guys.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ha-ha, what's going on, everybody? You know it's time. You know what time it is. It's Tuesday. It's time for Stephen's A-List, okay? I'm supposed to be doing this from Houston, Texas, but I don't usually have on my fly gear. I'm in travel mode and stuff like that. I only brought one outfit, okay? I'm not in studio with the big board and all of that other stuff. So I decided to alter the proceedings for this particular Tuesday. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hand the baton to Sergeant Friday himself, the one and only Jeff Saturday. Remember, there is a standard to uphold here, okay? And unlike me, Jeff.
Jeff, get him.
Listen to it.
Yeah. We got an A-List that is better than ever. In 2024, Stephen A. likes to put his list up. I'm going to give the real list today so y'all see what it's all about. And listen, I'm trying to stir it up, America. Last time I was here before Christmas, I got 57%. I want 60-plus percent for this week from this list. Stephen A.'s never been in that realm. We're about to see it today. At number five, bam, Dallas Cowboys. Listen, this football team with Dak Prescott, second in the NFC right now, I love their style. Dak Prescott, the way he's playing, defense getting at it. The only negative for me, the only negative why they're five right now is the run game. Little bit concerned right there. Can they really play ground and pound? Can they close games out? But listen, beating the Dolphins, big time play for this team. The Cowboys finishing the season the way they did, big time for me there at number five. Going number four. Boom! Buffalo Bills. How about them Bills? They just beat the Dolphins. Listen, this was a big time game to show up and, by the way, turn the ball over the way they did and still finish the mission the way they did. Incredible close. You got one of the best QBs in the world making these type of plays. Defense has gotten better after they lost all the injuries they had. This team has fought back. James Cook has been housing it. Big time change on that offense. I like where they are. They're my number four team. Who's my number three team? Bam! Cleveland Browns. There's a surprise for everybody. Putting Cleveland Browns at number three. Joe Flacco has turned this football team offensively on its head. He is averaging over 300 yards throwing the ball. We always think about the Browns being ground and pound, great defense, all this kind of stuff. They don't need to play ground and pound. They got a great defense, and Flacco is airing out. Amari Cooper's making plays. This team is hot, and Njoku's making plays. I love this, and guess what? They may have beaten the teams that are above them. We ain't got there yet, but this team has played really good football. I'm excited to see what they do in the playoffs. At number two, bam, San Francisco 49ers. Now, listen, I teetered to really see how much attention y'all paid. I teetered on the 49ers being one for me. I didn't. I held back because of what Purdy did when they played the Ravens. Still got to get over that. But I love this 49ers football team. And I think if they have the matchup, they will. I may even favor. But I got a second right now because of the number one team. And we saw what they did to them. National television, the way they played. Bam! My man, Baltimore Ravens. Hey, listen, this team has played. They have finished strong. You saw John Harbaugh celebrating last night with his brother Jim Harbaugh. Championship. He wants to get his second championship this week. I mean, this year, this is a huge, huge opportunity. I think it's the best Ravens team they've had in a few years. Where Lamar Jackson is playing at MVP level. But the defense, y'all. And listen, they have cycled through running backs, and they continue to make plays. Offensive line has played well. That Ravens is the number one team. They've proved it to America. They got to prove it through the playoffs. That's what we're looking at.
I would just like to say before Stephen A. and Shannon jump in here, excellent delivery.
Thank you.
You brought the energy. It was very concise. Sometimes Stephen A. gets a little long-winded.
He's wordy.
Yeah, he goes off on a tangent.
He names like every person on the roster.
You kept it nice and tight, and it was efficient.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you on that. All right, you at home, I want to get the grades from you. So that QR code, scan it, send in your grades. Up first, you. Shay, tell me.
Come on, Shay.
What do you think?
I was gonna let Stephen A. go. Let him go ahead and retort that list. I don't know, Stephen A. I'm not feeling this list as much as I thought I would, because last week, Saturday night, we were on the same page.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm looking at this list right now. I gave it a strong B plus. In the five spot, I got the Lions. The most wins they've had in a very, very long time, 12-5, won the division. The Cowboys, the way they played the last month of the season to overtake the Eagles and win that division, I got them at four. The Buffalo Bills went on the road, beat the Miami Dolphins, and won that division despite Josh Allen's two terrible interceptions in the end zone and a costly fumble. I kept the 49ers in the two spot. Even though they lost, they sought a lot of their starters. And number one, there was no debate about that. Hey, number one is easy. That's number one on everybody's list. I got the Ravens.
All right, can I
got
say
the Lions
real quick?
At five,
yeah.
The Cowboys
right.
at
yes.
four, the Bills at three, the Niners at two, and the Ravens at one.
All right, let me say this about the Lions. The only reason I didn't put the Lions in, I think I'm going to have to favor the Rams this weekend over the Lions. Because I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I know it's fluid, but I'm just thinking in my head a little advanced. I was like, man, the Rams going to their play because the Rams are hot right now.
And the Matthew Stafford Bowl.
Going back to Detroit. That's the only reason. Listen, because I love what Dan Campbell's done. That was my only hiccup of not putting them on. But I do respect it, but that was the reason I didn't do that.
Okay.
I ain't giving them.
He gave me a B plus.
Oh, B plus? I didn't hear you. Sorry.
Yeah, I gave B plus. Okay. Yeah.
I ain't giving them no damn B plus. First of all, last time I checked weeks ago,
Jeff Saturday got on me because he said, you ain't getting any points for doing the predictable with the 1 and 2 slots. Anybody could do that. So you ain't getting that, right? Now we got to go to spot 3, 4, and 5. And I'm sitting there going like this. The Browns are a wild card team. How am I going to put them ahead of the Cowboys or the Lions, who are both division winners? I'm not doing that. I can respect where you're coming from in terms of what you see from Joe Flacco. But even Jeff Saturday reminded us that Joe Flacco, as great as he has been, averaging 323 passing yards, he's also been throwing some interceptions as well. And that's not going to win for you come playoff time. Those are your words, Jeff Saturday, not mine. I'm using your words against you. So in other words, I'm not going to be as incendiary as you. I'm not going to call your list trash like you would say about me. Wow. But what I would say is that I'm very disappointed. Your words, you said 1 and 2 was predictable. You also sat up there and said, yo, not only is it predictable, but you also pointed out division winners compared to wild card teams as well. And then you brought up the Rams into the equation as well, which would be a legitimate reason why the Browns should be out of the top 5. I'm sorry. Get that list away from me. I'm rolling with Shay Shay, and I'm not giving you a B plus. I'm giving you a B.
I laid the trap for you, Stephen A., and you fell right into it. Right into the trap.
What's the trap?
Who is the only team?
What's the trap?
Who's the team that beat this team and that team?
The Browns.
That team?
Yeah.
How are you going to take that team out when they beat the dogs and they beat the dogs?
I just told you how.
No, that's the trap.
I just told you
fell into it.
No.
It ain't about division. It ain't about division. It's about where they match it up. That's where we are.
No.
You may respond, but
you said that. You said that. I didn't have a problem with it until you pointed out weeks ago that didn't count. It was fluid. It's fluid.
So
guess what?
I changed it. It's fluid.
Get that
my
list
list
out of here.
I changed
Get
it.
Get that list
it's
out
fluid.
Of here.
And the trap
the Lions,
said you
teams,
fell in.
The Lions and the Rams, who could have been on the list.
You heard him. You fell in the trap.
All right, so we have
a B and
come on,
B.
America.
Let's go, America.
Oh, yes! We got an A.
Yes!
You got an
yes!
A.
Oh, please.
Yes!
Oh,
please. Yes!
How about
yes!
That? Two tests, two A's, baby.
Saturday, you got to understand, though.
First take, fam. Come through on the clutch.
No, you're 14 points lower than what you were last week. You were going for 60. You at 43.
It's fluid. It'll get better. It's still an A. We're great on the curve. We still got the A, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Look how disappointed
look at this,
Stephen
look at Stephen A.
A. Look
broken.
At the disgust.
Broken.
His soul is
yeah,
crushed.
It should be.
Stephen A., just think about what you just did and what just happened.
Think about it.
Just think about it.
On the whole flight home, think about it, Stephen A.
Just think about all of it. Everything.
I'm not going home. I'm going.
Yeah, see, he going to L.A.
Okay. Have fun with that big time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Sticking in the association, ladies and gentlemen, forward Draymond Green has been reinstated by the NBA following his indefinite suspension after striking Suns forward Yusuf Nurkic on December 12th. Green returned to his podcast, The Draymond Green Show, for the first time since the suspension, and he revealed an emotional conversation he had with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver following that incident. Dre, floor is yours.
I just told him, Adam, it's too much for me. Like, it's too much. Like, this is too much. It's all becoming too much for me. And I'm going to retire. And Adam said, you're making a very rash decision. And I won't let you do that.
Stephen A., I'll start with you. What do you make of Draymond contemplating retirement?
Nothing. Not a thing.
Great, I'm glad we did this topic.
What I mean by that, Molly, is that probably in that moment, because he can be emotional at times, you know, in the moment he might have felt at that particular second, man, I don't need this anymore. I made enough money. But I know this about Draymond. Draymond has a lot of aspirations. And Draymond counts dollars as well as the best of them. And considering the fact that he got a $100 million deal over the next 4 years, and this is the first year of that deal with about $70 to $75 million left on the table after this season, that brother wasn't walking away from that money. Don't give a damn what anybody says. He wasn't walking away from that money. But I'm not saying that he was lying to Adam Silver. I'm saying that it was an emotional reaction once he learned about the suspension that was coming down and what they wanted him to deal with. And his pride probably kicked in. And we get that way at times. We're like, I ain't got time for this. I don't need to deal with this. But it disappeared in a nanosecond once that brother saw the money that he would be leaving on the table. And that was not going to happen. Draymond, this ain't the last 4 years he intends to play, Shannon. I promise you right now, Draymond looking to get even more on top of the $100 million he's due over the next 4 years. Now, whether he'll get that or not remains to be seen, but I assure you he's not planning on making money for the next 4 years and then going into the sunset. This brother thinks about his future every day, and it's got dollar signs attached to it. So, no, I didn't take that seriously at all.
I don't know Draymond. I've seen him a couple of times, had a little conversation with him, so I don't pretend to know him that well. But this is what I will tell you. So you're willing to walk away, which I don't believe either, Stephen A. You're walking away from – you're in the first year of a $100 million deal, so you got at least $70 to $75 million remaining. So you're willing to walk away from $70 to $75 million because you still want to chin check teammates. Or you want to pretend like you're flailing your arm, like you're trying to free your arm, and you're going to hit a guy upside the head. So you're going to walk away from, you know, almost $100 million because you want to continue to behave in that manner. Who believes that? Who? Nobody. Look, I get it. You're like, well, Draymond has to play on the – no, Draymond does not have to play on the edge. You don't have to chin check a teammate because he's got the best of you in a Jonin session. You don't have to try to pretend like you're trying to free yourself because Nurkic got you hooked and you're trying to free your arm. You don't have to do that, bro. And so instead of for you saying, you know what, I'm going to change my behavior. Nah, I'm going to quit. Who does that? You know what? Draymond, come on, Dre. You too good. You had a great career. If somebody would have told Draymond coming out of Michigan State, you're gonna get drafted in the second round. You're gonna win 4 titles. You're gonna be Defensive Player of the Year. You're gonna be an All NBA player. And you're gonna probably make $250 million. Would he have taken that? Yes or no, Stephen A. Because that's what his career is right now.
And don't forget playing with the greatest shooter that God ever created.
Yes! Yes! So, Draymond, you've gotten everything you could have possibly hoped for. All the commissioners saying, Draymond. I mean, and the Warriors, Draymond. Bro, you can't punch your teammates because you lost a roasting session. You can't roast them because, okay, maybe the media and the fans are starting to say, well, Poole now is a member of the Brick Big Three, and maybe it's a Big Four, and Draymond is the four, not the three. But, bro, you can't have this kind of reaction.
Let me interject.
Go ahead. Hold on, Molly, because it's very important. It's you're touching on sensitive lines, Shannon, and I think that both of us need to talk about this in this respect. As a black man, when you are confronted with the consequences of your actions, it's one thing to get suspended. I don't think that's what had Draymond, and I haven't talked to him about this, just so everybody knows. But I don't think it's about the suspension. When the label is therapy, you need help,
And that kind of narrative is something that you believe is created about you. It can hit you in a very sensitive way. I can tell you, when you heard that narrative about him, I got uncomfortable about it. Because, let's put it out there on Front Street, we see white dudes acting up all the damn time. And we don't hear about them needing help, needing therapy.
Well, that's the easy way out.
But when
that's
it came to him,
out, Stephen A.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm just saying, you're thinking along those lines, and that might have been what he was reacting to. And I think that needs to be mentioned.
Okay, if he's saying he doesn't need therapy, so what should his consequences be for Joe Jack and his teammate and for knocking Nurkic upside his head? And a continuation.
No, that's because not what I'm saying.
But all I'm saying, Stephen A., if this was a one-off, sure. If the first time he had ever did anything was Jordan Poole, or take Jordan Poole out of it, if the first time he ever done something was Nurkic, mm-hmm. given his history, that's what you do. He's right. What we call a repeat offender.
Yeah, but I'm not debating that. I'm not debating that with you. I'm just talking about in the moment that you are in front of the commissioner and right. they're telling you that it's an indefinite suspension and your return is contingent upon X, Y, and Z. I'm saying in that moment, regardless of what you're saying, which is factually correct, makes total sense. I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm right. saying if you're in that moment and you are in that room and you're receiving that kind of narrative from people who look differently than you, it affects you, particularly if you're a young, prideful black man and find yourself in that kind of position. And I think that's what you take into consideration. I'm not saying it's right.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's what he might have been thinking at that moment. And that's why he reacted that way, even though you and I both know he wasn't going to retire.
Stephen A., can I put it to you like this? If you love something sure. or someone, and they said, in order for this thing to continue, I'm going to need you to do this. What wouldn't you be willing to do? If you love something as much as Draymond says he loves basketball, what wouldn't you be willing to do to save it? If you're in a relationship
That's
and your partner
ultimatum.
Says, you know what, baby, I love you, but we got to go sit down and we got to talk to somebody. If you love that person as much as you say you do, what wouldn't you be willing to do, Stephen A.? That's all I'm saying. So if you don't, if that's not for you,
yeah,
hit the road, I guess.
It might have just been too much for him, all of it, feeling like you got to change the way you play, the noise of this or that he's playing. Yeah, and it can be overwhelming, and you might be like, hey, I want a timeout. I get where he's coming from.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
We head to the association as the Grizzlies received bad news, terrible news last night as their franchise star John Morant will undergo season-ending surgery on his right shoulder. Stephen A., he just returned. Final thoughts from you on Ja being out for the year.
I'm incredibly sad. He is a superstar. The game of basketball and fans everywhere. It's beautiful when we get to see him play, but in the end, due to his suspension and now the injury, I hope he takes into account that the Memphis Grizzlies season is entirely ruined. A complete
Shannon?
Season. Ruined.
Yes. Yes, it's this doomed the Memphis Grizzlies season. I'm so sorry for Ja because, as you said, Stephen A., he had just gotten back, and he was playing unbelievable in his small return.
Yes, he was.
Man, I'm so sorry. Get well soon,
right.
Ja.
Party's over. Congrats to Michigan. You two kids behave in L.A., okay?